Translation: My Lord, even the learned sages become disturbed in their intelligence when they see that your greatness engages in fruitive work, although you are free from all desires, that you take birth although you are unborn, that you flee out of fear of the enemy and take shelter in a fort, although you are the controller of invincible time, and that you enjoy householder life surrounded by many women, although you enjoy in yourself. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Pure devotees of the Lord are not very much concerned with philosophical speculation in regard to transcendental knowledge of the Lord. Nor is it possible to acquire complete knowledge of the Lord. Whatever little knowledge they have about the Lord is sufficient for them, because devotees are simply satisfied in hearing and chanting about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. This gives them all transcendental bliss. But some of the pastimes of the Lord appear contradictory, even to such pure devotees. And thus Uddhava asked the Lord about some of the contradictory incidents in his pastimes. The Lord is described as having nothing to do personally, and it is actually so, because even in the creation and sustenance of the material world, the Lord has nothing to do. It seems contradictory then to hear that the Lord personally lifts the Govardhan Hill for the protection of his unalloyed devotees. The Lord is the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, appearing like a man. But Uddhava had doubts whether he could have so many transcendental activities. There is no difference between the personality of Godhead and the impersonal Brahman. How then can the Lord have so many things to do, whereas the impersonal Brahman is stated to have nothing to do, either materially or spiritually? If the Lord is ever unborn, how then is he born as the son of Vasudev and Devaki? He is fearful even to Kala, the supreme fear, and yet the Lord is afraid of fighting Jarasandha and takes shelter in a fort. How can one who is full in himself take pleasure in the association of many women? How can he take wives and, just like a householder, take pleasure in the association of family members, children, relatives and parents? All these apparently contradictory happenings bewilder even the greatest learned scholars, who, thus bewildered, cannot understand whether inactivity is a fact or whether his activities are only imitations. The solution is that the Lord has nothing to do with anything mundane. All his activities are transcendental. This cannot be understood by the mundane speculators. For the mundane speculators, there is certainly a kind of bewilderment. But for the transcendental devotees, there is nothing astonishing in this. The Brahman conception of the Absolute Truth is certainly the negation of all mundane activities. But the Parabrahman conception is full with transcendental activities. One who knows the distinctions between the conception of Brahman and the conception of the Supreme Brahman is certainly the real transcendentalist. There is no bewilderment for such transcendentalists. The Lord himself also declares in Bhagavad Gita 10.2, even the great sages and demigods can know hardly anything about my activities and transcendental potencies. The right explanation of the Lord's activities is given by Grandfather Bhishma, Bhagavatam 1.9.16, as follows: Nahiyasya kar hichid rajan puman veda vidishtitam yad vichijnat yad vijigyasa yuk. Let's try this again. Nahiyasya kirichid rajan puman veda vidishtitam yad vijigyasya vijig. Can anyone say this word? Vijigyasaya, vijigyasaya yukta muyanti kavayo pihi. Okay, got there in the end. Om agyanti mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So, we are in the fourth chapter, Vidura Approaches Maitreya. Before we speak, we'd like to seek all the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas to be able to share something that can benefit all of us. Hare Krishna. So, in this chapter, Vidura Approaches Maitreya, but that hasn't happened yet. At this point, Uddhava is speaking to Maitreya about Krishna, and he approaches Maitreya a bit later, because then Uddhava says, actually, Maitreya is more qualified than me, and he can impart knowledge onto you. Maitreya was also there when Krishna was speaking to me, and maybe you should speak with him because he is more senior to me. So this is the etiquette, and Uddhava is showing that etiquette by directing Vidura to Maitreya. At this stage in this text, Uddhava is describing Krishna's bewildering activities. How Krishna bewilders us. Because like it says, like Srila Prabhupada's pointed out in the purport, sometimes the pastimes can seem contradictory. So in this particular text, there's four things that Uddhava has pointed out. Karmanyani Hasya at the beginning, which is that Krishna doesn't need to perform activities, but he does. Why does he do that? Well, he tells Arjun in the third chapter of the Gita, Yadyada Charati Sheshtashtata Devataro Jana, that whatever a great man does, a common man follows. So he's saying he performs activities even though he doesn't need to perform activities, because he's setting an example. So sometimes we may also be doing this. We may not need to do something, but we set the example. So I can give you a very basic example. So at home, I have two daughters, and I say to my two daughters, you cannot eat on the sofa. Because my daughters, even though they are 10 and 7, they eat like they're 3 and 1. So it's like when they eat, it's like, oh my God, it's mad. It just looks crazy. So I said, look, you cannot eat on the sofa. So then the other day, I went and sat and I started to eat on the sofa. And my daughter said, my 10-year-old daughter Keshavi, she said, Papa, you're eating on the sofa. I went, oh yeah, I shouldn't do that. And then I went and sat on the table. Because how can I ask her to do something if I'm not setting the example myself. So I don't need to sit on the table, because I can hopefully manage to eat a piece of bread without making a massive mess, hopefully. So I don't need to sit on the sofa. I don't need to sit on the table. I'm okay to sit on the sofa, but I do. Why? To set the example to my child so that she understands that this is what we all do. So similarly, Krishna doesn't need to come here and do all these activities, but he does. He sets an example how to be respectful to parents. We see how he's respectful to Devaki and Vasudev, how he's respectful to King Ugrasena, how he's respectful to Yudhishthir. He's showing how to be respectful to others. So he's setting an example. He's showing how whenever he does anything here, he's not doing it to achieve a specific result. He's performing activity. So a lesson we can learn is that when we are, like he's saying to Arjuna right at the beginning of the Gita, do your duty. Do your duty. Don't be attached to the result. Kamani vadikaraste. Do your duty. Don't be attached to the result. So for us, sometimes we are looking for the result. But when we are looking for the result, we are not usually ourselves. We don't really act within ourselves when there is a result attached to it. For example, if you go for an interview, and you are really attached to getting the job, then what may happen, you may say things just to get the job, and you're not really being yourself. You're not really being you. But you just say things like, oh, have you got any experience in this? Oh yes, I've been doing this for years. Just to get the job, just to get the result. But the example Krishna setting is, be yourself. Understand who we are and act in that way. So he's saying to Arjuna, you're a Kshatriya. You're a Kshatriya, set the example and fight this war. If you run away, you want to go to the forest and you run away, you'll be nothing but a mithyachara, a pretender. You're just a pretender if you just run away. Because your duty in who you are, you're a Kshatriya, that's the way you are psychophysically designated in this life, then act accordingly. And that way you'll be happy. That way you'll be happier than going to the forest and pretending to be someone that you're not. So Krishna's setting that example. Krishna's also here is described bhavo bhavasyate. So Krishna doesn't have any need to take birth. There's no need for Krishna to take birth. It says you take birth although you are unborn. You take birth although you are unborn. Because Krishna is Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karna Karnam. He has no origin, but actually he is the origin of all origins. He is the cause of all causes. This is Krishna. So then why does he take birth? When Devaki sees Krishna, she understands actually that, you know, Krishna comes out not like an ordinary baby. He's got four arms. Like, whoa, what's going on here? Yoyam kalastasya devyakta bandho. She says to him, actually, you are the controller of supreme time. Yoyam kalastasya devyakta bandho. You are the controller of supreme time. You are the supreme personality of Godhead. She realizes straight away that the Lord has come. The Lord has come. And that leads us on to the next point. Krishna is Kalatmano. Kalatmano. He's the controller of time. So Devaki realizes this. But Kamsa, when he hears that the eighth child has been born, is described Kalaham iti vivala. Kalaham iti vivala. What happened? Kamsa was overwhelmed because Kala, time has come. Death, for him, death has come. So for a devotee, Krishna is the controller of time. And we take shelter of Krishna knowing that he has got me. I'm in his shelter, he has got me. And no matter how much time is moving on, I'm under his shelter. But for a demon like Kamsa, time has come and death is coming. So as time goes on, what is happening? When we're demoniac, we are fearing death. It's the only thing the demon fears. Kamsa feared nobody. But he feared when that voice, that celestial voice came and said, it's all over for you. This couple that you are, this couple, Vasudev and Devaki, that have just got married, their eighth child is going to kill you. Their eighth child is going to kill you. And he was ready to kill Devaki there and then. He was ready to kill Devaki there and then. But Vasudev pacified him. Vasudeva Mahabhago. He's a great soul. He's a great soul. Uvacha Parishantavyan. And he spoke to Kamsa in a pacifying way. So when Kamsa was about to kill Devaki, he pacified him. He pacified him. Even though actually his mind did start to get disturbed. Manasya duyamanena vibriham ibam vidriham ibam hasahit. He became very, overwhelmed in his mind. Manasya duyamanena. But what happened? Vihisan idam abravit. He smiled and spoke to Kamsa. So sometimes what happens, even though we're in a difficult situation, vihisan idam abravit, we've got to smile and we've got to kind of act cool. Doesn't this happen sometimes? The situation can be overwhelming. Look how overwhelming this situation is. Kamsa wants to kill his wife. And Vasudev, his mind is going everywhere. Manasya duyamanena, his mind is becoming overwhelmed. But vihisan, he smiled and he spoke to Kamsa and he said, don't worry. Don't worry. I'll give you these children. Putran samarpayishyecha. I'll give you these children. I'll give you all these children. And that way, yattaste bhayam uttitam. All this fear that's overwhelming you can go away. Because I'll give you all these children. And this is the thing about a saintly person. That a demon can trust a saintly person's word. Even the demon can trust a saintly person's word. So as soon as Vasudev said, don't worry, putran samarpa yeshecha, I'll give you all of the children. When the children are born, I'll give them to you. And then, yattaste bhayam uttitam, then all this fear that has arisen within you, it can be dispelled. Because I'll give you the... And Kamsa knew, okay, this is a great soul. This is a sadhu. I can take his word. So the word of a saintly person just means so much. Because even the demons can trust the word of a saintly person. The promise of a saintly person. When KK wanted to banish Ram, it wasn't like she had to create a big war. She just said to Dashrath, there were two boons. These were you promised me two boons. And Dashrath, he knew, okay, oh my God, I gave my word. Even though he was so torn, then what happened? Ram came. And she knew that Ram, who is Dharma personified, he came here, Maryada Purushottam, to show us how to be, to set the example that he won't let his father's word go in vain. So the word, the promise, the character, the behavior of a saintly person is recognized even by those that hate the saintly people, even by those that are demoniac. This is the character that we can strive to be. This is the character that is the example that's been set. We see in the war, in the Kurukshetra war, when Abhimanyu is killed. So Abhimanyu is killed on the 13th day. So on the 10th day of the war, we know Bhishma fell. Then Dronacharya became the commander. So Dronacharya becomes the commander and Duryodhan has one request. The request was, bring Yudhishthir to me. Arrest Yudhishthir and bring him to me. Why was Duryodhan thinking this? Because Duryodhan knew that, look, this war, inside he knew that this was like, we need to find another kind of tactic. You know, this isn't working out. Bhishma's fallen. This isn't kind of working out. So then what does Duryodhan think? He thinks, look, if I get Yudhishthir to come here again, we'll get him to do another gambling match, and then we'll send them to a forest for another 13 years, I'll get a bigger army, and then we'll kill them, then we'll have a war in 13 years. And Dronacharya is thinking, this guy's never gonna learn. Like, when is he ever going to get a grip and learn? This isn't the way to do things. So, but again, what is it that Duryodhan knows? He knows that he can take, he knows that Yudhishthir will agree to the gambling match out of respect for his elders. So we'll get him to do another gambling match. So then, 11th and 12th day of the war, Dronacharya is very close to getting Yudhishthir. He's very close. And Dronacharya said, look, if you want, he said to Duryodhan, if you want me to get Yudhishthir, I can, but just take care of Arjun. I can't do, with Arjun, I can't do anything. Right, even though he's my student, he's younger than me, he's got more power than me, he'll be able to save Yudhishthir. So as long as you take care of Arjun, I'll give you Yudhishthir. But both 11th and 12th day, Drona was very close, but still right at the end, Krishna comes up with a magical tactic and Arjun saves Yudhishthir. So then on the 13th day, Dronacharya says that, okay, we'll do this new formation called the Chakravyuha, this Chakravyuha formation. And in this Chakravyuha formation, again, just take care of Arjun. You take care of Arjun and we'll do the rest. We'll try and arrest Yudhishthir. Now, him wanting to arrest Yudhishthir wasn't a secret. The Pandavas knew that this was what they were trying to do, that they were trying to arrest Yudhishthir. So what happens is that Jarasandha has a boon from Shiva that he can, for one day, he can do anything. He can take care of the whole war except Arjun. He can take care of the whole war except Arjun. So what happens is the Chakravyuha formation is set, and there's one, and Yudhishthir knows that there's one person who can go into the formation, which is Abhimanyu. So Abhimanyu knew how to get in. So when Abhimanyu is asked, look, you go in and penetrate this formation. Penetrate this. So he's asked to penetrate the formation, but Abhimanyu says, look, I can go in, but I don't know how to get out. I can get into this formation, but I can't get out. But Yudhishthir, Bhima, they all say to him, look, don't worry, we'll be right behind you. We'll be right behind you and we'll help you and we'll defeat all the Kauravas from inside the formation. So what happens? Abhimanyu goes in, but then Jarasandha comes. And because Jarasandha has the boon, Yudhishthir and Bhima, all these great warriors cannot go in to help Abhimanyu. So then what happens? Sorry, not Jarasandha, Jayadrath. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Jarasandha, someone else. That's who we talk about next, actually. Jayadrath. Thank you, Srinivasu. Yeah, Jayadrath. So Jayadrath has the boon that he can withhold all the Pandavas. So he with except Arjun. So then what happens is Yudhishthir, Bhima, they can't get into the Chakravyuha because Jayadrath is protecting. And then what happens? Abhimanyu is killed. In an unfair way, because all the soldiers kind of ganged up on him, and then the son of Dushasan finally killed Abhimanyu. So then Yudhishthir is so upset. He's so, so upset. How do I tell my brother that this is, how do I tell Arjun that this is what happened in the war? How do I tell Arjun that Abhimanyu, your son, was killed? He was so upset. Yudhishthir was just, and he felt very, very guilty. He felt very, very guilty. And he was thinking, I'm just going to run to the Kaurava camp and I'm going to just finish all of them. And if anything worse comes to worse, I'll lay down my life. But I don't want to go and speak to Arjun. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nand Bhagwan Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Bhagwan Ki Jai, Gaur Nithai Bhagwan Ki Jai. So he didn't want to, he didn't want to face Arjun. So I'm going to charge to the Kaurava camp. So he's charging to the Kaurava camp. And who does he see? He sees Vyasadev. So he sees Vyasadev there. And Vyasadev, and Yudhishthir gets off his chariot, pays respects, and he tells Vyasadev what happened. And Vyasadev says to him, Yudhishthir, do not act impulsively. Do not act impulsively. So, this is something we can learn. Something happens, we don't just have to act impulsively. And he says there is a higher divine plan taking place. The will of the Lord is not always understandable. We can't always understand Krishna's plan. And not only is it not always understandable, the other thing is about Krishna's plan is that it's always benevolent. Krishna is our best friend. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. He is our best friend. Krishna's will is not always understandable, but we know he is all good. So Yudhishthir calms down and he goes back. And then Arjun is told. And Arjun immediately, in his anger, says, are all these weapons, he's saying to Yudhishthir, he's saying to Bhima, his brothers, are all these weapons that you carry just mere ornaments? That none of you could save my son. Shame on you. So he's getting so angry, so upset. Naturally, his son has just been killed. But Krishna then tells him, Arjun, in this world, there is going to be difficulty. There is going to be difficult situations in this world all the time. But the wise act in ways to make the situation better. And those that are not wise act in ways that will make the situation worse. What you're saying now is not making the situation better. And then Arjun thought about it. Actually, yeah, the Pandavas, they had a good plan. They had a good plan. The plan was actually good. But with the information they had a good plan. That Abhimanyu goes in and we'll follow him in and then we'll charge the Kauravas from inside the Chakravyuha formation. But they did not know about what Jayadrath, the vow that Jayadrath had, the boon that Jayadrath had. And then Arjun declares that the next day, before sunset, I will kill Jayadrath. And if I don't kill him by sunset the next day, I will take my own life. Duryodhan and the Pandavas, the Kauravas and the Pandavas both rejoiced. They're both rejoicing. Why are the Pandavas rejoicing? Yes, Arjun's taken this vow. We're going to kill Jayadrath tomorrow. Why are the Kauravas rejoicing? Arjun's taken this vow. If we just save Jayadrath, Arjun will kill himself and the war will be over. So both sides are rejoicing. So what's happening here is, again, the demoniac are trusting the words of a saintly person. Because they know that if Jayadrath is not killed, Arjun will take his own life. That became their plan for the day. Just save Jayadrath and Arjun will kill himself. That was their plan. Why? Because they knew Arjun's word will be upheld. The demoniac are not trustworthy, but the devotees, the saintly personalities are trustworthy, and even the demoniac trust them. So this is the character. This is the character we can see in Arjun. This is the character we saw in Dashrath, upholding that difficult boon, giving that boon. But the boon is the boon, the vow is the vow. So Arjun, the next day in the war, everyone's trying to stop him. Everyone's trying to stop Arjun. They've kept Jayadrath so far away. And to cut the long story short, it looked pretty much impossible. So Krishna sends his Sudarshan Chakra. He covers the sun. When he covers the sun, it looks like it's sunset. Everyone then drops their weapons. The Kauravas are rejoicing. And then Krishna says to Arjun, shoot the Brahmastra. But the sun has set. So sometimes there is a time to ask questions. And sometimes there's a time where you don't ask questions. You just do what you're told. And that was a time when Arjun just hit the Brahmastra, Krishna removes the Sudarshan Chakra, and Jayadrath is killed. So when you have Krishna, you have protection. You have shelter. And when you don't have Krishna, you can try everything you like, including trusting the words of Krishna, including trusting the words of the devotees, including understanding what saintly people are like, but somehow or the other, Krishna will take care of his devotees. And this is why when we see karmanyani hasya, Krishna has nothing to do, but he still does them. Why does he do them? He does them because he loves the devotees so much. That is the most important thing for Krishna, his love for his devotees. Everything that's going on is because of how much he loves his devotees. So Krishna, samoham sarvabhuteshu, he's equal to everyone. He's equal to everyone. Krishna is impartially partial. What does it mean, is impartially partial? He's equal to everyone. He leaves the door open. But if we go through the door, he is a friend in me and I am a friend in them. He says to Arjuna in the 9th chapter, he is a friend in me and I am a friend in them. So if we go through the door, what happens? He becomes partial to us. He takes special attention, he gives special attention to his devotees. So Krishna doesn't need to perform activities, but he does, because he loves his devotees. He doesn't need to take birth, but he does. Kalat manoyat. He's the controller of time. But then we can see here, Durgashrayo Tari Bhayat Palayanam. Durgashrayo means, Durga means a fort, and Ashrayo means taking shelter. So Krishna took shelter of a fort. Which fort did he take shelter of? Well, he was Hari Bhayat. He was running in fear of his enemies. Ari Bhayat, he was running out of fear for his enemies. Palayana means fleeing. So what was this when this is Jarasandha. When Jarasandha and Kalyavana attacked Mathura. Krishna defeated Jarasandha 17 times. But then again, the 18th time, Jarasandha, he just couldn't get the hint. Like, he came again. He came again. And even Kalyavana, another demon, came to attack Mathura. And it said here that Krishna, who's the controller of time, you're the controller of time, but yet you're fearful. You're running away from your enemies. Durgashrayo, you took shelter of a fort. That fort is Dwarka. So Krishna removed, he took shelter of Dwarka, he removed everyone from Mathura and set up this whole Dwarka. So here, Kalyavana was then chasing Krishna up a cave, and Krishna knew Muchakunda was sleeping there, and Muchakunda had this thing that whoever wakes him up from his sleep, because he needed to rest after having a big, he had a massive fight with all the demons, so he needed to rest, and whoever woke him up would be burnt to ashes. So Krishna directed Kalyavana to the cave, and Muchakunda woke up and killed Kalyavana. And Jarasandha, he's thinking, let me burn the mountain. Krishna and Balaram run up the mountain, and Jarasandha thinks, let me burn the mountain, but then Krishna and Balaram escaped. So here it's like, what are these activities? That you're the controller of time. You're the controller of time. You have nothing to fear, but yet you are acting in a way that you are fearful. And then finally, here, Swatmanrate. Swatmanrate means one who is enjoys it within himself. So like an Atmaram. One who is self-satisfied, fully content. So Krishna is self-satisfied. He's fully content. He doesn't need anything from anyone. Yet he marries 16,108 queens. This is yet you enjoy household life with so many women. Yes, Pramada Ayuta, in the association of so many women. Many women you are enjoying, even though you are Svatmanrate. Even though you are self-satisfied, this is what you are doing. So this is Krishna. He just wants to please his devotees. He accepted many queens. He took the grihastha, he was in the grihastha ashram, household life. How can we understand all of this? All these contradictions of Krishna. We can understand these contradictions of Krishna through bhakti. Atashi Krishna namadi na bhaved grihamindriye. Svevan mukhi jiva do svayam evam spuratyadaha. That actually, that when we become spiritualized, when we have premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, when our eyes are tinged with the salve of love, when we've got love in our eyes for Krishna, when we've got bhakti in our hearts, then we can understand that Krishna is acting to please his devotees. So sometimes we may be bewildered. We may be bewildered by what is happening to us now. But if we think about it, Krishna has taken us this far. Just imagine what our lives were like. Just maybe spend 10 seconds thinking about what our life was like before coming into contact with Krishna consciousness. What would our life be like right now if we never got into contact with Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON? What would it be like? What would we be doing? We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be maybe not even awake at this time. So being here is understanding that Krishna has brought us so far. He's not going to let go of us now. He's not going to just let go of us now. He's brought us so far. He's not going to let go of us. We might let go of him, but he's not letting go of us. So when the difficult situations come, tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Buddhi yoga is, in one sense, we can say buddhi yoga, the intelligence, buddhi intelligence, yoga to connect. When difficult situations come, we can use our buddhi to do yoga. We can use our intelligence to connect with Krishna. How do we connect with Krishna in the most difficult times? That is very, very personal. And maybe that's something we can reflect on. What is it that gives me shelter? Where do I take shelter in Krishna? In what aspect of devotional service do I take shelter of Krishna? In what aspect of devotional life do I take shelter in Krishna? Is it easier for me? Or is it more natural for me to take shelter of Krishna when I sit in a kirtan? Do I need to associate with a devotee? Do I need to chant? How will I take shelter of Krishna? But this is the thing. Buddhi yoga. When the difficult situation arises, let's not be bewildered. Because we know that Krishna is doing everything because he loves us so much. He's taking special care of each and every one of us uniquely, giving us that special attention because we have come to him. We've taken that step towards him. So he's now involved. And because he's involved, we can trust that he is involved. And when it's getting tough, how can I connect to him? How can I really connect to him? Maybe I need to understand that this difficulty I'm going through is something that's actually going to help me grow. And how will we know that it will help us grow? Just look back at all the times we had difficulty already and just see how Krishna has masterminded the situation in such a way that we've grown. And that actually we've not always been able to see his plan, but his plan has been wonderful. So maybe we can finish here because it is 8:30. Does anyone have any comments, questions, corrections? Please do feel free to share. Anyone would like to share anything? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for an amazing class. Yeah, if someone is feeling sorrow and they are in depression as a devotee, then how do they remember Krishna as always, as you said, in those circumstances, like someone lost their dear one? Yeah, how do they remember Krishna at that time? What can you give me some suggestions? And
so your question is, when someone loses
the dear one, they are in depression and like all the things come at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah,
like material world.
Yeah, I think. Thank you, Prabhu. So when someone loses the dear one, how can we remember Krishna? How can we take shelter of Krishna? I think there's two things. One is, we can't deny that there's grief and loss, and accept that. And then we can take shelter of Krishna. I think what happens a lot of the times is, we can lose someone and think, oh, we're not this body, and we try and spiritually bypass the problem inside the heart. Grief is real. When there's loss, we can accept that actually I'm feeling loss. When Ram finds out that Dashrath has left, he breaks down and he cries. He breaks down and he cries. So it's absolutely fine to be with the emotion. Becoming a devotee and understanding philosophy shouldn't take us away from our humanity. Our humanity. Because it's like Arjun, when he hears Abhimanyu died, he didn't just get philosophical, he was really upset. He cried, he was really felt that. So that's one thing for us when we lose someone, that actually we can be in touch with our loss, our feeling. It's okay. A lot of the time, we don't want to experience the pain of loss. But actually, maybe it's that pain that we need to experience so that we can release it. Otherwise, we can't release it. And if we can be in touch with our pain, in touch with our difficulty, in touch with the loss, the guilt, the grief, then we'll be able to think of Krishna. Then we'll be able to take shelter of Krishna wholeheartedly. We'll be able to take shelter of Him wholeheartedly. And if someone else loses someone, if someone else loses a dear one, we can't say to them, Prabhu, we're not this body. Because where is our humanity? Where is our compassion? Where is our love? If that's what so what happened, we can't say, oh, must be their karma. You know, devotees, we can get so, sometimes we can become hard-hearted because of the philosophy can make us hard-hearted unless we understand the philosophy deeply. So instead of thinking what's their karma, think, what is my dharma? What is my service in all of this? How can I serve? Because we're meant to serve. I hope that helps. And that way we can take shelter of Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you so much for your wonderful class. And particularly the point that you explained, that everything that may happen is based on the fact that Krishna does it for His love, the devotees. I was just wondering, like, in our own situation, we may engage in different activities. If you can, like, give just a foundation of, what is the foundation of our devotional life? Or how can we, or is, you say, take shelter. But what does it translate to take shelter of Krishna for a devotee? Maybe different for different devotees. So.
Yeah. It's different for different devotees because it's very individual. Some devotees may really engage in deity worship, and for them, for some devotees, that just being with the deities, addressing the deity, that's the way they take shelter. For someone else, it might be just going to a kirtan with lots of devotees around, I'm going to take shelter through the holy name. I'll take shelter of Krishna. For some people, I just need to go out, I need to speak about Krishna and preach Krishna consciousness. I'll take shelter through kirtanam, through chanting, through speaking about Krishna. So it's important that we understand ourselves. Who am I? How do I relate to Krishna best? How do I connect with Krishna, the person, best? Maduradipati rakilam maduram. How can I see Krishna's sweetness? How do I taste Krishna's sweetness? Krishna is the emperor of sweetness. But how do I connect with that sweetness? And if we can reflect and understand for ourselves, where do I find Krishna's sweetness? In what way do I find Krishna's sweetness? Then we can take shelter of that sweetness in good times and in difficult times. And that can become the foundation of our personal relationship with Krishna. It's a personal relationship. And that personal relationship means you have your distinctive ways of connecting with Him. And those distinctive ways are what will help us connect with Him deeply. Is that okay? Does that make sense? Yeah. Hare Krishna. Would anyone else like to share anything? Yes, Karan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. You're mentioning how we may not understand Krishna's plan and that it's for our welfare and benefit, some of the things that happen to us. But I was just wondering, is it ever the case where like something may happen and it's actually like not for our welfare? But we just maybe we see it as our welfare, or maybe we don't see it, but can that ever also be the case? Like, so I'm just thinking in terms of, should we also think about that?
And yeah, thank you.
Discriminate in that way also, or try to?
Yeah, thank you, Karan Prabhu. I think with this, we can see that actually it's not possible, it may not be possible to be grateful for all situations. Like when Draupadi is getting disrobed, you can't expect her to be grateful for that situation. But she was still grateful in the situation. She still saw, okay, Krishna saved me, my husbands are here, I've gone to the forest. She didn't spend 13 years in resentment. So I think the key with this is, even though it might be difficult to be grateful for the situation, or maybe sometimes ridiculous to be grateful for the situation, we can still be grateful in the situation. Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutanam, which means He is our ultimate well-wisher and friend. So our ultimate well-wisher and friend does have our long-term welfare in mind, even if our short-term welfare may be compromised. So again, what happens, what can we do? We can reflect back. When has this happened before? Has there been a time when it looks like my welfare hasn't been taken care of? But then we ride through it for a little while and we see, oh, actually, this has worked out. But by remaining grateful in that situation, we're able to receive Krishna more, even in that troublesome time. Is that okay? Thank you. Thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.